Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, Father, how we love, we lift in our feet.
Blessed is you, Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. He is an awesome God. Hallelujah. And he reigns. He reigns forevermore. Never doubt him. He reigns forevermore. We're just grateful. We are just grateful to be here today. But this truly is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We are glad. Yesterday we were not able to come on because the system was broken. And we prayed. We said, Lord, let them get everything fixed that needs to be fixed. Yeah. And our cell phone system, the Blog Talk Radio, wasn't working, so we couldn't even get on. Couldn't even dial in. But today we are on and we are excited, we are delighted that the Lord has given us a word. We always have to get a word because we never know what's going to happen. Hallelujah. But we are here. We asked the prophet, she was going to bring the word yesterday, but the line was down. And as we found out yesterday evening that they had fixed the problem, we asked her if she could bring the word today. Well, this morning I got a message that she was not able. She would not be able to bring the word today. So we had already studied a word because you always got to be prepared. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for allowing us to be here in the land of the living, O God. You are so great. You are so worthy. You're mighty God. And God, you keep us where we need to be. Father, we are excited and we are delighted to be here in the land of the living, because it's here that everything works, oh God. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and you anoint our heads with oil, cups to overflow. Now today we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning, that you allow everything to come up out of our heart that you have given us for this day, for this day. And we will release what you have given us for this day. Now, oh God, we ask that you bless the north, the north wind, the south wind, and the east wind, the west wind, that as the word go forth, oh God, it would not return void this day, oh God. You know, we plan, we make our plans, but God is the one that make the outcome. We may get excited, so we are excited to release a word. And while we are thinking that we are ready, God does something else. So today we're going to talk about times are changing. Times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. Times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. And we realize this is happening all the time. You are going to be the one that God used to glorify his name. You have to be ready to be used by God. No excuse is going to work for God. I do everything that I can. Everything and every way that I can do it, I do it to please the Lord. Because I only have one chance. I only have one chance to do what thus says the Lord. This morning we're going to be speaking this word from the book of John chapter 15. And times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. And here in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus is the vine. The Father God is the vine dresser. I'm going to put it up on two different Bibles, and then we're going to go in. Prophetess says she's unable to deliver the message today. We don't know what the problem is, but we pray all is well with her and her family. We are going to go in here and do this work for the Lord this morning, as always. We don't do this for ourselves. We do this for him. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. John chapter 15. Jesus says in the NLT, he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Hallelujah, glory to God. I preached this before, but as I studied this last night, I was laying on my bed and just was seeing this word in the spirit, and I was thinking about even when he got here to this place, and he says, he pruned those bear fruit. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I was thinking that he had to cut off some things. And of course, I'm a gardener. I was just telling Nancy, I said, I got to get some different seeds to plant. I got some beets where they have to get some other seeds to plant and stuff, and carrots and okra and different things, and peppermint and some basil and so on, telling me that it may still get cold and we had to wait a little bit longer, you know, because I'm going to cut my time short in the Caribbean. I was going to go away for 6 weeks, but I I think I'm here in 4 weeks, so I'm going to cut to about 4 weeks. The Lord say the same. I want to spend six, but I think I'll spend four. But as I was looking at this, and I read this last night, I was studying on that, and the Bible say he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. So sometimes there's some things that's on us and some people that are with us in our circles and places that we go that would hinder us from being much fruit that God has to cut away. He has to cut away in order that we would have the freedom to even reach out and bear more fruit. I was seeing that thing was not messing with me, but it was stirring up the spirit inside of me. And he says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So the word of God that you get each day, the word of God that you study each day and night, prunes you. It prepares you to bear much fruit. Hallelujah, if the Bible is true. This is what it does. And we know the Bible is true. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit of itself. Hallelujah. Let's read that again. He said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, if it's cut away from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So I've talked about the times are changing. The times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. As you're looking, you see all the things that are happening. I was looking at something that was going on in Israel yesterday, and people were running. People were running because what happened is, I don't know if it's a segment of the imagination, if it's computer generated or the government generated, but this angel had appeared in the sky with wingspans, looked like they were 50 feet wide, and the wings, he was flying. He came up out of the clouds and he was flying, and then there was fire in the sky. Oh my Lord. Then I saw what supposed to be, I don't know because I wasn't there, Jesus with his crown on his head and two angels, one on his left and one on his right. And people were shouting and taking pictures and, oh, my God, and oh, my God. And all, instead of people saying, Lord, I forgive me, I repent. They were running from north to south, east to west. They were running in every direction. It's on YouTube. People with cameras and cell phones taking pictures because the sky had lit up. And this is what the Bible says, that when he show up, he's going to come with all his glory. In another country, they say that there was people on the beach having a good time. And all of a sudden, a meteor hit the ocean. Tidal waves start to come across. They're running and screaming. And as I'm looking at these things, I'm saying, Lord, even if it's computer generated or the government's doing these things by the weapons that they have, they ought to tell us that we ought to get our hearts right with God. It ought to tell us, even if the government, if the computer technicians are acting up and doing these things, it ought to tell us that we should get our hearts right with God, because we don't know when he's going to show up. We don't know when a tidal wave or tsunami is going to come across the street and wash the house, the car, the bus, the truck, everything away. We don't know when an earthquake is going to swap the bank with all your money. We don't know when a tornado is going to come down the way and take away the bank and your job, place, your house, your cars, and all that stuff. We don't know. So we ought to get ourselves right. The Lord had a reason why he told me to look at the scripture yesterday. Hallelujah. He knows, because he knows all things. I always tell the people in the church, he knows the end before the beginning. Don't care what we do or what we say. God knows if we're on point or if we're not on point. Because one thing for sure, I can fool you. I can fool myself. I can fool you. I can fool the next person. You can fool me. You can fool the next person, but you can't fool yourself, and you can't fool God. I can't fool myself, and I can't fool God. So Jesus said here, because it's all in red. It's all in red. He said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is doing the same thing that he was told to do. Remember, I'm getting too hot. Let me take this sweater off. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this heart is working good. Oh, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus is instructing us to stay connected to him. He said, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Do you hear that? You have to understand what God is saying. A lot of people go through so much that they go through, especially when they think they're playing with God, they're tricking God, and they end up in so much problems, financial problems, physical problems, health problems, family problems. All these things come when we think that we smarter than God, we outsmarting God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're not truly connected to him, you will wither. He cuts you off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says it right here. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. That means that enemy can do anything with you, because you're not connected. We're talking about times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. Times are changing fast. You look at it and you'll see these things happen. Even the president, this no good president that we have, he is stressing everything. Everything that's supposed to be good. I don't care if you like Donald Trump or not. He's not my father. Jesus is my father. Biden not my father. He's the president of the United States of America. I respect him that much. But he's changing everything that God has called to be. He's changing stuff. No, we can't call it Resurrection Sunday. Well, he's seen that, but I'm still going to say Resurrection Sunday. It has to be LGBTQ, what we call it, transgender. Visibility. And you understand? It's so hard I can't even pronounce the word. But it's transgender visibility. All this stuff. So he is giving these people that are doing sin, living in sin, don't want to get rid of sin. He is giving them the right of way, but yet he proclaimed that he is a Christian. And even the Catholic Church, the Catholics are coming against him. And they have been laughing. I said, I read the thing in my book, note in my book. He said that the priest said that he's like some people that goes to the restaurant. You know, they go to the place all you can eat. And they pick and choose what they want to eat, what they don't want to eat. They let go, even though it may be good. They say, I don't eat that. When he said the same way about President Biden does. That's one of the priests from the Catholic Church, because Biden is a Catholic. He said Biden will come to church every Sunday. He'll come to church every Sunday. But he's picking out of the word of God, what he wants and what he don't want, he leave behind. Everything in the word is for us. Jesus says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, verse 7, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. See, when we're reaching out for the lost, when we're reaching out for the lost, I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. And this, some of the stuff is comedy, but some of it makes sense. You know, that you see, sometimes you see people on the side of the street begging alms. And other people, they're dressed up, you know, and I like to call them dressed up garbage cans. And they will pass these people. They have what the people need. Sometimes the people just say, well, just give me a couple of dollars so I can get a sandwich or get some water. And the people will cross over to the other side. Remember that Good Samaritan story? They will cross over looking at the people and looking down onto them like they are not even human beings. And you look around and see how in the country that we live in right here in the United States, even in my state, Massachusetts, people treat dogs and cats, animals, better than they treat human beings. Right here in our country. Maybe in your state, too, they do the same thing. And it's a shame that we would spend hundreds of dollars to take the dog to the vet, and you'll see somebody on the side of the street dying for starvation, and you wouldn't offer them a cola, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you would spend hundreds of dollars, but that's your dog. You see, your dog is like family. Dog can't talk. He can just bark and bite somebody. Cost you more money. Cost you to have to go to court. Cost you to get sued. You see, yeah, the dog will protect me, yeah. That's your brother, your sister that's in the street begging. Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. We always talk about that, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5:16. This light he's talking about is the light of God that ought to be seen in us. When we go out, we ought to be outside and inside. We are the child of God, the children of God. But we are the children of God when we come into the church building. We do ever so much because we want the bishop, the apostle, the prophet, the prophets, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher to see us and give us accolades. You know, John is always at church, and he's always doing something. She's always doing something, but get out the church building. And now there's something else, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They flip up to something else. You say the wrong word to them, they'll cuss you right out of your shoes. God wants us to show his love wherever we go. He said, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus is looking for us to do the same thing that he did with the Father. Even remember I told you a couple of days ago, Jesus only speaks what the Father says to speak. He only does what he sees the Father doing. We ought to be imitating Jesus by studying the Word of God, imitate him, loving unconditionally. You don't have to do anything for me to love. Because I've come to the place in my walk with Jesus Christ that I recognize, I know that no hatred can enter into heaven. I don't care how much we preach and teach and sing and dance. If we have hatred in our hearts, we cannot enter into heaven. One pastor's wife would tell me that she don't care for Trump. And she's got such a hatred in her heart, you can hear it in her spirit, for Trump. Trump has never done her anything wrong. But just because of what somebody else must say over the internet, she hates Trump. And some of them hate Biden, you know. Just hear them. I don't like what they do. Not, I don't like some stuff that Trump does. I don't like some that Biden does. But I don't hate neither one of them. Because all that they're doing is wrong or all that they're doing is right, they have to give an answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just like we got to do. We got to give an answer for every work, good or bad. Whether good or bad, we have to give an answer to it. Hallelujah. So we can't go into heaven because I just hate Trump. I wish he was dead. I wish he was dead. No, you can't go to heaven without in you. You got to repent of that. We got to repent of that stuff, holding grievance and malices in our house against people. Some people can't come on Blog Talk Radio because they're full of malice towards me, towards somebody else, full of anger towards somebody else, hatred, can't come on Blog Talk Radio. And through carrying that stuff in them, they find themselves just what Jesus says. He severed them from the vine. He cut them off. And he said that they withered. They're withered. They're thrown out. And they're gathered together in a pile to be burned. That's what happened when we think that we all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, that we better than somebody. Preachers are singing with melodious voices. Claim they're singing to the Lord, but acting like devils. So many preachers are being exposed now because we're close to the end. We're close to the end. Your work is being tried. Is it good or bad? All of our works are being tried right now. We're close to the end. The end means that Jesus will be coming in. And the end is just like the beginning. Hallelujah. He's coming with all. In the beginning, he had all his glory. In the end, he's going to have all his glory too. Same thing. It's coming on in. And we know better. Evangelist Brown said, when you know better, you ought to do better. Carrying a whole lot of stuff on us. And we can't stand this body. We can't stand that body. I sit down and meeting with pastors and leaders and pastors' wives and all of them and evangelists and teachers and stuff, and preachers and ministers and all of them, how they were talking so bad. And some got to the point that they even want to cuss because they hate Trump so bad, so much. And I'm sitting there and I said, Lord Jesus, how are we going to vote for Biden? We're going to vote for Biden because we hate Trump. We can't stand Trump. Trump said this negative thing about a woman. But Biden signed an agreement for abortions in agreement for same-sex marriage. Say you take one out of the pot and the other one jump in the fire. You know. So what can you do? You have to pray for them. Pray that God will lead them out of the fire and out the pot that they're in, that you thought they're in, because you don't have a hell or heaven to put them in. I don't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus wants us to remain in him. Simple. He wants us to remain in him. To be his disciples, we got to do what he said to do. Not what we want to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not what we want to do, but what he ordained us to do. We are called to win souls. If you win souls, see where you win souls, listen to me. You're not just saying a prayer of salvation, that's it. When you win souls, you have to go and seek them souls. Search out them souls wherever they are. And you have to encourage them. You have to give them the nourishment that they need so that they can grow. You know, there are people that they pray for people and say, well, and then they like to boast, but I pray for 2,000 people. Over the years, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 people received Jesus. You ask them where they are, they don't know. Because they don't even follow up with a phone call, not even with a phone call, to see how the person is doing. Lady called me, and she said, I can't ever get in touch with my pastor, but I really need a prayer. Could you pray for me? I said, sure, I can pray for you. Laws is lined up with the word of God. Don't come to me to do some foolish stuff, you know. He said, look. Because, you know, folk would ask you to do stuff. One evangelist asked me one time to pray for her husband. She see her husband. And Pastor, when she finished talking, she says, he's already my children, but God showed me that he's my husband. I said, no, I can't pray for you for that. I can't pray for you for that. And this is the kind of stuff that you've got to be careful. People want you to pray for stuff that don't belong to them. How are you going to pray for some other woman husband to be your husband, you know. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. So Jesus says we got to stay connected to him. We got to love like he loved. We got to be like he is. This is how we're going to know that we are his. We got to obey every commandment, not what we feel like. Say, well, I'm not going to curse, but I'm going to steal. I'm going to obey my mother and my father, but I'm going to covet my neighbor's wife or my neighbor's husband. You know, I'm going to have other gods. You know, I want to have many gods, because when I can't hear one, maybe I hear the other one. You know, all this foolishness they do. And they say they love the Lord. He says, when you obey my commandment, not one, commandments. S is at the end. You remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. See, when you got this, when you have this word of God inside you, you could be on your dying bed. You still find joy. Doctors and nurses will look at you and say, well, I can't understand how she's, we gave her a bad report. But she still got joy. Look at her face. Her countenance is full of joy. Why? Because you got this thing inside of you, the word of God, his commands are inside of you. And you know you can't lose. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't lose. He said, yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And we want God to forgive us. The Lord Jesus to forgive us. But we don't want to forgive anybody. We can't even socialize with our brothers and sisters because we have so much malice in our heart. Jesus said you got to stay connected to the vine. See, the only thing that comes out of the vine is pure. It's purity. Love, kindness, patience, mercy, and grace. It all flows from this vine. If you're not connected, if we're not connected to it, we can't get this. It seems like we'll be looking every place for where we know that it is, but we're looking so many different places for it, and we can't find it because we're not looking the right place. The right place is to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelah. A man traveled all the way from Mexico to come into the United States to gun down his ex-girlfriend. Why? Why is this stuff happening? Because love has grown cold. Love, L-O-V-E. And hatred is coming up so ugly. I wouldn't even say powerful, but ugly. That men and women, boys and girls has hold on to it. Saw another one last night. They got the case going on here in Massachusetts. The boys was all at a party. Boys and girls was all at a party. And one stole another. One kid stole another. These are all young kids. Stole another kid's gold necklace. I don't know what kind of gold necklace. They said a necklace. About $10, so it's probably counterfeit, you know. And one friend said that you got to give back my friend his gold chain. That gold chain all belongs to you. Well, the boys jump on this one that was standing up for his friend, and they knock him out. And when they knock him out, he fell to the ground, apostle, and hit his head to the stone. And he dead. He dead. You understand? He died because all of this stuff, we are not teaching them how to love. We are busy with a computer. We are busy with a cell phone. Hallelujah. We are not teaching the kids how to love on each other unconditionally. The woman is walking the street and has a baby on a little red bike. You know, the tree, whatever you call them. You know, a little bicycle. And a little boy riding a bicycle, next thing you know, somebody snatched the little boy off the bicycle. She on the cell phone. They be talking to her boyfriend. And when she do get off the phone and look for the little kid boo-hooing. A man, another man had gone trace the car. And when the driver got out the car, this other fellow that was following the car, with his car, went in the car and got the baby. And she didn't, when the man brought the baby back to her, she got all upset. Wanted to fight with the man. Things that don't mean us any good. Jesus says, I told you these things that so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will be overflowing. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for another, for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. If we be obedient to God, God calls us friends. If you're disobedient, you're just like an enemy. We have a choice. We have a choice to make. Do you want to obey God's word? Are you going to be obedient to God's word? We have to make that choice. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. And he said, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend since I have told you everything the Father told me. He is releasing everything to us by the Spirit because we are friends. We have a connection. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is his command. We are praying to God. There's a lot of people praying to God and asking God for stuff and expect that they're going to receive what they want from God. But they're not receiving and they're mad at God. They're not even taking an inventory of their own spiritual walk. Do you hear me? They're not taking an inventory of your spiritual walk to see why it seems as though God is not answering me. Why does it seem God is not answering me? What have I done? You understand? Yeah. Hallelujah. Just break my train of thought. Hallelujah. We have to get to this place in our walk with God. Jesus wants us to step out of that realm of darkness. Because so many of us are proclaiming that we're in the light of God. And I hear these same preachers. Listen to me. I hear these same preachers and first ladies, deacons and elders and all of them. We were in the big meeting at the long table. And they all would tell you right at the table, I'm going to heaven and don't care what nobody say, I'm going to heaven. You can't go to heaven. And I got to tell you, I don't have the keys to heaven or hell. I can't put nobody in. I can't take nobody out. But I'm telling you for real, according to the word of God, if you have malice, enmity in your heart against anybody, you're not going to heaven. So you better take a check. Take a check and say, look, give me a rain check, Lord. God, I'm repenting now of that very thought that I had inside of me. Take a rain check, because I tell you the truth, you're not going in. You're trying to go in, but you're not going in. Hallelujah. Most of us will do that. We think we're going in to be with the Lord, and God says you can't enter that way. It's like trying to come in like a thief. You're trying to come in, and the way is open, it's ready for you, but you don't want to come in the right way. You want to come in your way. You want to come in your way. Full of sin, full of malice, don't respect anybody, don't care for anybody, and you think you're going in. Hallelujah. Calling for us to repent. He is calling to us to turn away from our self-righteous way We are righteous in our own way, thinking that we got it together. I cry out every day before the Lord. Cry out. Asking God to really change me, because I'm not there. Cry out before him. We can't even go to the altar and bow down, because we think that we got it all together. And God already know that we don't have it together. He know we don't have it together. But we can't bow down before him and cry out in repentance so that we'll be able to hear from heaven. See, this enemy, he's a mess. See, I got the computer up. I can't find my Bible, my hard copy. I got other hard copies here, but that means I got to move something to get to them. But, okay. Let's finish this here. Now, and then we'll go to somewhere. So we'll have a computer freedom. He says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. A lot of times what we find that a lot of these folk that's supposed to be godly, be anointed, be appointed, be chosen by God, the reason why we don't see the authority, the power, the unction of the Holy Ghost, Tom clearly speaking in tongues, but they know tongues. We don't see it happening because they want to connect with the world so much. Not with a godly connection. They connect with the world the same way the world is. We always like to say that change people. But if pastors and leaders are acting like the world, you can't change the world when you're acting like the world. You got to be different. You know, Jesus came here on the earth as a man, God in the flesh. And they bring all type of stuff around. Even some of these crazy people saying that he was with this woman and all this kind of foolishness, trying to put stuff on him. But he was never able to be drawn into their foolishness of the world. He stood out. That's why they hang him on the cross. He stood out. He was different. Hallelujah. And we got to be different. The world going to hate you as long as you proclaim Jesus is Lord and you walk as the light, because you got to be the light. Hallelujah. You got to be the light. Now, I'm not looking for the light. The light is inside of me. He told me so. The light is inside of you. You don't have to go down to the supermarket trying to find some light. The light is inside of you. And you have to let your light shine. Because sometimes we let the light get snuffed out because of trying to connect with some people. And, you know, sitting around with them drinking corn liquor and smoking marijuana and stuff, and you find yourself acting the same way like them. No, you got to stand out. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost showed me that years ago. Years ago. I was a young Christian. And I was still dibbing and dabbing. And he told me he can stand. He can dwell in me. He just come and visit. I cried like a baby. Because I understood what he was saying. I knew what I was doing. I was in the world and out the world. In the world, out the world. In the world, out the world. You know, in church on Sunday and Wednesday night, on Sunday morning. And after they open on Friday night, I'm there. But after I leave there, I go to the crack house. I go to the whole house. You understand? He can say because my temple was contaminated. And some of us, you're wondering why all this stuff is going on. But your temple is contaminated. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, why you had to have heart surgery if you're so holy? Well, that wasn't to God. I ate the wrong stuff. I got all the herbs here to clear my stuff up. But I've been to the Jamaican restaurant. I was eating all that and throwing three times a week. Instead of cooking here in the house, I was going there. That was my stuff. My family wasn't eating that. I was going to having all that curry golden rice and all the other stuff that they got there. Full of grease. It was like putting glue inside my veins. And that's what it is. It happened real fast. real, real fast. It didn't take a long time. In a matter of months, that thing happened to me. I was going down to the Jamaican restaurant, having oxtail and curry golden rice, and they're packing that stuff with the gravy. The gravy, tick, tick, tick. And that stuff clogged up my veins. You can't put that on God. God gave us the right thing to eat, the herbs and stuff. We don't eat in the, we don't want the lettuce. We don't want the kale. We don't want the cabbage. We don't want carrots and peppermint. And we don't want to have the bay leaf and stuff, which is good for you. We don't want to make bay leaf tea. That's good for you. It's not just to put inside the sauce and the soup. It's good. Just put it in a cup of hot water with a little honey. Good for you. You know, we want to have the stuff that's going to kill us. And that's what happened. Because some people say, well, if he's so anointed and he loved the Lord so much, why God give him, almost let him die? No, it wasn't God's fault. I ain't not putting that on God. So don't you put him on God. It wasn't on God, it's on me. You go on doing all type of stuff, and then when stuff comes down on you, don't blame God for that stuff. Don't blame God for that stuff. We won't even get on the, don't want to get on the right track. We're doing our own stuff. We like the boys. Instead of going all the way you go over the other side of the track, getting yourself involved in trouble. Here, let me give you this last picture here, and then we'll give you some more scripture. We go on. Listen, what Jesus is talking about. Hallelujah. Do you remember what I told you? Verse 20. A slave is no greater than the master. Since they persecute me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. This is Jesus speaking. So you wonder why you're preaching so hard, you're singing, you're dancing, and folk not even paying you no attention. Now you start thinking, well, maybe I'm not preaching the right word. No, they don't want to hear that because it belongs to the world. And all you have to do is preach the word, preach what God said to preach, and go on your way. Don't get carried away because they're not, seem like they're not listening. The Bible said no one can come to him except he draw them. He did the drawing. All you have to do is just plant the seed. Somebody's going to water. He'll bring the increase. But we get upset. Well, I've been preaching every Sunday morning. Don't see it. Nothing happening. No. Keep preaching. There's some people in there and many people inside the sanctuary that's getting it. Somebody's going to watch it. You know, when the person watches, you know what? My pastor's been preaching that for the last few years. But now they hear it. They really hear it from somebody else. That's the water they receive it now. And here God's going to come and he's going to bring, Holy Ghost going to bring the increase. Don't get frustrated. Don't get weary and well-doing. You will reap if you faint. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will do all this to you because of me. For they have rejected the one who sent me. They're telling me now that this is a target out for Christians. People are coming against Christianity left and right, every which way. So when, because they're coming against Christianity, you're going to put down your Bible? You're going to stop saying that Jesus is Lord? You're going to give up on God? He went all the way to Calvary. We just celebrate that. He went all the way to Calvary, being nailed and pierced and crowned and spit upon and kicked and slapped and everything for your sins and my sins, for our sins. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Raised up to sit at the right hand of, and even at the right hand of the Father, that's the right hand of authority, of power and authority. He is still interceding for you and me. He has not given up on us. All the stuff that we're going through and we're doing, stuff that we know we shouldn't be doing, stuff we know we shouldn't be seeing, and he's interceding for us. That's what he's doing. He's the one that makes the crooked places straight for us. And the rough place is smooth. He leveled out the path so we can travel. This is what Jesus did. He's doing for us. Hallelujah, glory to God. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. Let me tell you something. When you preach the gospel, uncompromising, infallible truth, God's word, people are just hating you. They're hating the Father. They're hating the Son. They're hating the Holy Ghost. They're hating Jesus. You understand? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost equal Jesus. They're hating him. Hallelujah. That's why you can't stop preaching. You can't stop proclaiming that he is Lord. When everything has failed, he's still going to be there for you and for me. Hallelujah. We're talking about times are changing fast. They're connected to the vine. You can't let go because some things seem like it's not working. He says, if I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. You can speak and you can teach, and God will work through you, and people will still despise you. Do you understand? They will still despise you. You're nobody to them. Some people recognize who you are, that you're truly a servant of God. But others would just look at you and look down on you. Envy, jealousy, spiteful towers you. But it's not really towers you. It's towers Jesus, the one that's inside of you. He told you that. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Hallelujah. This is not only for the apostles or the disciples. It's for you too. You've been with him in the spirit. You've been with him. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 5. Let me put it up here. Because I put the Bible somewhere. I don't know where I put it. John chapter 5. And it says, Jesus heals a lame man. Verse 1 to 7. Afterward, Jesus, and this is in the NLT. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for Jewish holidays. Inside the city, near the street, the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches or five entrances. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to be well? Jesus, a question. He's asking us the same question today. Would you like to be well? But we're like the lame man. We'll answer. But a different way. He said, I can't, sir. Listen to him. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles or trouble, when the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Jesus didn't ask him all that. Simple question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? The question should be, yes, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. Speaking to us very clearly. Very clearly in the word. We say the word. He speaks clearly. He don't stammer. Hallelujah. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your bed or your mat and walk. Instantly, we go a little further. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, who can't, you can't walk on the Sabbath. The Lord doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. They're not saying that this man was paralyzed, was crippled for 38 years, but now he's walking. You cannot smoke that pipe. You can't break that pipe because breaking a pipe is working. No, they want you to stay on the pipe. They want you to stay crippled. They want you to stay in bondage. But the Savior comes to set you free, to release you from the thing that holds you captive. Understand me? He comes to set you free. See, when you connect to him, everything that had you in bondage has to break loose, have to leave. You can't stay connected to him and still the devil holding on to you. That's why we say you can't walk with God and dance with the devil too, or dance with the devil and walk with God. Either you're walking with him or dance with him, or one way or another. You have to let go one of them. If you stay connected to the Savior, your life will never be the same. All of that foolish stuff that try to hold on to you would fall off. Because it's power in Jesus. Not just his name. Power in Jesus. You're holding on to his hand. Power is flowing through his vessel, through into your vessel. Hold on to him. That's why we use this vine. You connected. I got some peppermints out there. And the weather change, they're going to come up by themselves. The roots are still in the ground. No, the stalks, I can pull the leaves off, they dry. And once I put them in, wash them off and put them in some hot water, the fragrance going to come up out the leaves. Because they're still connected to the branches. You understand? They're still connected. We got to stay connected to Christ Jesus regardless of what it seems like, what it feels like. Don't give up. These leaders come against him, this man, and because, you know, he's healed now. They want to know who healed him, who gave him permission, who told him to walk. People are going to want to know, why are you going from here to here? And everywhere you go, you're always constantly talking about Jesus. But that's the command. Jesus said he testified of the Father. You got to do likewise. You got to testify of him. Hallelujah. You got a job to do. Hallelujah. We can't pick and choose. Like some of these preachers that don't, we can't pick and choose what we want to use. Jesus said, you got to tell them the whole story. You got to give them the whole story. The full doctrine. Don't hold back on it. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing as that, they demanded. They want to know, who tell you? Who gave you the command? Like they're in authority. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may come upon you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. The people always want to know who you are. Jesus is not afraid. You cannot be afraid of the enemy. You have a job to do. Do your job. First John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found a very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael, "can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. See, when people know you and know who you are, they proclaim this. I've been in Virginia, and I was preaching in a church there in Virginia called Holy Scripture Church. And a young man that we used to get high with, I and other people, well, a good few of them died. I think there's only about two of us alive. Now, when he came into the church, I think it was Mother's Day or something, his mother invited him to the church because Mother, she was one of the mothers in the church. He saw me on the altar. And at that time, I was proclaiming behind the podium. And he asked the mother, "Is that David?" She said, "Yes, that's the minister David. He's one of the ministers here in the church." He couldn't believe it. He was saying the same thing. The same word here. "Because I came out the crack house." See, people don't remember. They remember everything that you was. They don't see who you are. They don't see who you are. This is where you have to stay connected. Because if you're not connected, you'll start acting because of what they think they see. When you're connected, you'll know who you are. They don't see who you are. They see who you was. You understand? He told them to come and see for yourself. That's what Philip said to Nathanael. Come and see for yourself. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked Jesus. He asked, and Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi," to say master or teacher, "you are the son of God, the king of Israel." Hallelujah. Let me see. 1 minute. Glory to God. That's my granddaughter. Now, Jesus said that. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man." Hallelujah. "The one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." I could believe that. When he spoke this to them, they was amazed. I mean, just excited. Don't know what to say. Because he's saying to them that he is the stairway to heaven. Hallelujah. That's all we want to get. We want to be on him, in him, travel in him, and through him. Hallelujah. This is why we're staying connected. Tomorrow we are not going to be able to bring the message unless we get somebody to preach, because I have to go see my cardiologist tomorrow. He's just going to check me over. That's all. Nothing to worry about. He's just going to check me over and make sure that everything is still doing right. And he may adjust some medicines. I don't know. John chapter 6. You have to fall upon you. Jesus says, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." John 6 and 35. Let's go to John 14 and 6. Let's put up some of these here for you. Jesus is Lord. He says, Jesus, John 14 and 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14 and 13. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in Acts. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Verse 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. In other words, when you study this word, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, as Peter said in Acts 2 and 38. And you begin to study the word of God. You could be laying down. You could be standing. You could be in the bathroom. You could be in the shower. Wherever. You don't have the Bible in your hand. But all that word that you study, the Holy Spirit will begin to regurgitate that word inside your belly. You'll begin to see and hear things. That's why you say, man, I don't know, but all of a sudden, this word just come to me. Well, the word come to you. It was inside of you. The Holy Spirit just brought it alive so you can see it in your spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Stay connected. You got to stay connected. Don't get discombobulated. Stay connected. As you look and you hear and you see, you're going to see things are changing and changing real fast. And they're not changing in the way that we like. They're not changing in the way that we like. You see, governments and authorities are going against the kingdom. They're going against the kingdom way of life. And they're making it seem to the world like it's all good. And to the world, it's all good because that's all they know. That's all they know. So the leaders of the world are professing and confessing this thing. Darkness is what they're confessing. Hallelujah. But you are the light. You got to make a difference. You got to stand up. Stand up for truth and don't fall for the lie. Because the lie sounds so good. It seems so good to the hearing ear. I would have said, Paul, that they said they have itchy ears. You know? And the lie sounds good to them. You have some well-learned people. I know. Well-learned people in all race. And they would get mad. They would get mad when you tell them they shouldn't commit an abortion. They say, well, this is my body. I'm going to do whatever I feel to. And what happened is that when the time comes that they want to have a baby, most of them can't have babies because they have scraped up the womb and the fallopian tube so much time. They scrape them up with the tool that the doctor used to pull the baby out or the fetus out, that there's no way that they can even have a baby. Even though the sperm goes in, there's no eggs. Hallelujah. There's no eggs. Everything is scraped loose. No, they're mad. But why can't they have pop? But they forget when they were trying their utmost best to please the world system. Do what the world system said to do. Don't get impregnated. Go ahead and work on your status. You know, your career. Go work on your status. Get your career in order. That's what they say. So every time they get pregnant, they go to the abortion clinic and get the baby scoop out. But I find out that they don't throw the babies away. I found this out. I found that they use the babies. Every baby has a value on it, a price on it. The doctors get paid. They get paid, some of them get paid from the person who want to get the abortion. And then they get paid from the ritualists. The ritualists. those people that want to perform the sacrifices, because they want the blood, they want the neighbor's strength, and all that comes in the neighbor's strength. They want all that stuff, and they use some of that stuff to make makeup and all that kind of stuff. You hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. So they get paid two both ways. And then they'll get another payment that's going to come to the Lord. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 to 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength and character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Verse 5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We're talking about times are changing fast. Stay connected to the vine. Go to James. James. St. James. Somebody says that. Let's go on down here to St. James and see. James chapter 1. And let's start at verse 2. You must stay connected. Don't let nobody cut you off. Do you hear what I'm saying? Stay connected. It is important for you and I to stay connected to the vine. We are children of the Most High God. All substance, the nourishment that we need comes from Jesus. Jesus is the vine. If we are severed from the vine, we are severed from the most source. It's just like my icebox out there. We call it icebox back in the country, but we know it as a refrigerator. My refrigerator have a what we call in the construction field, we call it a receptacle. Receptacle on the wall. You know, it's red, and you got a cover that covers the receptacle, you know, to make it look nice and finished. In that receptacle, if the house is powered up, flows 120 volts. That is enough to turn on the compressor. The compressor now takes heat out to form cold. It removes heat, okay, to form cold. So if the refrigerator is not plugged into that receptacle, all the food that you have in that refrigerator will spoil. You'll have to put it in the garbage can. It's no good. Even if you go and plug it in after a long time, it's still there because it's been unplugged for a long time. Depends on how long it was shut down, unplugged. It's the same thing with us. If we're not connected to the source of our salvation, the source of our redemption, we are dying. It's just a matter of time. If we don't get reconnected to him through repentance, hallelujah, we will die spiritually. You'll be like the people in the movies that they call the walking dead or the living dead. You're walking around, but you have no true life. Those people you see out there in the world that all they do is drink and smoking, they're actually dead. Just needed to throw inside the grave in the 6x3 hole. Unless they repent, and then the spirit man comes alive. Hallelujah. He revitalized them from the inside when they repent. But otherwise, they're walking dead. They have no life. No true life. Yes, they're breathing. Yes, they can talk and walk. But they don't have no true life on the inside. The true life comes from the vine. He told you that in John 15. If you don't bear fruit, he severs you, cut you off, and you withered up. You become like dry trash, and then just put you in a pile, and your only thing you're good for is being burnt. Listen, St. John 13, Oh no, we got James. We got James. I don't think we need James. Oh, let's do James. James. He says here, the apostle says, dear brothers, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. You know, when you go through some trials, man, it could be health trials, it could be financial trials, it could be relationship trials. If you stand in faith, believe in God to keep you, when you come through, oh, man, you're going to be much stronger. You're going to be much stronger. Oh, she left, she up and left, he up and left. He treat you bad, she treat you bad. But you stand. You didn't go and commit a crime. You stand trusting God for better. You're stronger. He says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. See, when you get to that place in your walk with Christ, you don't really have to need for all the stuff that people are being bent out of shape to get. People are bent out of shape because they don't have the car they think they should have. They're bent out of shape because they think they don't live in the neighborhood that they want to live in, don't have the house, the apartment, the condo that they think they should have. They're bent out. But when you're in Christ, those things don't bother you. I had a house. We had a house. It was a $500,000 house. And we lost that house because of my addiction. We had another one was $375,000, something like that. We lost that because of my addiction. I don't worry about that stuff. I've seen that with you now because God just brought it back to me. You know, I don't sit around just playing about what's gone or what's not coming. I'm rejoicing at what I have. What I have, glory to God. You know, I got to go see my cardiologist tomorrow, and I know without a shadow of doubt that I'm going to have a good report. No, because the Lord spoke that to my spirit. He tell me just lay back and enjoy the day. Your report is good. Now, John chapter 13, I think. Let's go there. Let me see what the time looks like. Okay, we got a little bit. John chapter 13. Every one of these scriptures speak to us. To really, really, really stay connected. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. See, if you're not truly connected, the enemy will come in. He'll find an entrance in your life. I mean, we know that Judas had to do this. Somebody had to do it in order that you and I could be saved. And Judas was the weakest. You know, have you ever seen that picture called the weakest link? He was the weakest link because they said he was a thief. And Satan, if he's a thief and like the thief steal the stuff, now the enemy, he got something belongs to the devil. So it was an entrance there for the devil to come in, you know, come in and test him. John chapter 12. This is the word of God, people. We are almost finished. I mean, there's lots more scripture that I can give you here, but we are almost finished. Verse 50. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Now, scripture, I just pulled this up this morning. It's important for you and I as believers know that we have to follow the instructions of Jesus Christ. Yes, your bishop is a good preacher. Yes, your pastor is a good preacher. Well, if they're not preaching the infallible truth, the uncompromising word of God, you can't follow them. Matter of fact, you hear, but you got to be like the Berean church in the book of Acts chapter 17. You have to go and search the scripture out for yourself. Look it up for yourself. See if the scriptures are really speaking what God is saying. Because if it's not saying what God is saying, you're just wasting time. You want to hear what God is saying. Listen. Glory to God. 13 and 34. Glory to God. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I am ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. A lot of us, then you come to that place, that crossroad of who you are in Christ, you'll just fail. Your fear is coming to this time. It's coming to this time in our walk. In our walk. Glory to God. Our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're going to be tested. Your faith, our faith will be tested. Let me read this back for you again. It's a reason why he has given you the Holy Spirit. It's important. Let me read this back for you. John 14 and 26. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So what is the issue here, Pastor? I'm glad you asked that. The issue is that we got to get to know what Jesus is saying. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us, we must know for ourselves what he's saying to us. How are you going to know if you don't ever take time, spend time in the Bible? If you don't ever open the manuscript and say, I want to know, I want to hear what Jesus said. Here in John chapter 7, verse 28 to 29. This is what he says, 28 to 29. He says, while Jesus was teaching in the temple, he called out, yes, you know me, and you know where I come from, but I'm not here on my own. The one who sent me is true, and you don't know him. But I know him because I come from him, and he sent me to you. Now, you know, when you begin to talk like that, people would do just what they did here to Jesus. It's what they did. Then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one could lay hands on him because his time had not yet come. Many among the crowds at the temple believed in him. After all, they said, what? You expect the Messiah to do more miraculous signs than this man has done? When the Pharisees heard that the crowds were whispering such things, they and the leading priests sent temple guards to arrest Jesus. See, when folk begin to believe and hear and believe what you're saying, they're going to want to put you in jail. They're going to want to put you on the cross. You have to study this because your defense is going to come from the Holy Ghost, giving you a greater understanding of the people, their mindset. We're leading to that. We're going to that place. I mean, if you doubt me, go turn on the news right now. Go on YouTube, go on Twitter, go on Instagram, Periscope. You'll see they're talking about them holy rulers and those people that believe that God is this and God is that. This is what they say. John chapter 8. This is the last scripture I'm going to use today, I think. My spirit is very heavy right now. John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus answered, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it's my Father who will glorify me. You say, he is our God. But you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do know him and obey him. This is John chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. We have to get, you and I have to get a better understanding of who Jesus is, of who the Father is. It's not happenstance. It's real. It is where our help comes from, where we get to know who he is. Because when we get to know who he is, when we understand that he is the God of our salvation, he is the Redeemer, he's the one who's coming back for us, we is his bride, we begin to live different. We respond different to how people, when people act strange to us. We will respond different because we know that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. We glorify you. Lord, we honor you this day. Father, thank you for the report from the cardiologist already in advance. Thank you. As he checked me out, God, he will find everything in order. We pray, O God, for your blessings upon this line today and upon everyone that heard your voice came through me. Everyone that had an ear to hear your word, your truth. We ask your blessing, Lord. We ask, O God, to heal those that are sick physically, mentally, and spiritually. Heal today, Lord. God, thank you for touching Prophetess Jackie's granddaughter. Thank you for healing her lungs. Oh, God, for bringing down the heart rate to normalizing the heart rate. We thank you, Father God, because you are the God of impossibilities. In other words, it's impossible for man, but it's not impossible for you, God. Lord, we bless you. We continue to bless you. Thank you for the prophetess, Kersey, in her absence. Lord, we ask that whatever she's doing, whatever she's involved in, Lord God, that it work out for her good and for your glory. Father, we just pray today that your peace rest upon this line, that your joy overtake us, peakable, full of glory. Lord, we ask, God, that you watch over our mates, our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Keep the church, O God, your house, your bride. Keep it together, Lord. God, we ask you to remove every wolf from amongst the flock, O God. O God, and allow true shepherds that has a hunger and thirst for righteousness, that want to carry the light, O God, of God in them, allow them to rise up and enter the house of faith. Father, we pray for those that don't know you today. And we pray that they will come to know you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of their sins, as they repent today. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ, God sent his Son to die for us. While we were yet sinning, God commanded his love towards us. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What a powerful verse out the Amplified, the New Living Translation. God showed his love, his great love, not just love, but his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What a powerful word. You know, you just only have to look into the Word of God to see the love of God for you. Peter says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. No other name under heaven by which we may be saved. That name is Jesus. And you have to call out on him. If you are out there in computer land and you're not saved, even if you're saved, you can rededicate your life over and over and over and over. Because, you know, we all go through stuff from day to day in our mind. Some things comes up in our mind that kind of boggle our mind and cause us to waver in our thoughts. Not that we go and do stuff, physically do stuff, but in our thoughts, we have that stuff in our mind. And that's why Paul said you got to cast down all thoughts and imagination. You know, got to cast down things that come down, you know, so you repent and ask God to come and renew your mind, you to a clean heart and a right spirit. Because we don't want to serve God with a lot of mildew over our spirit, man. Mud over our spirit, man. No, we want our spirit to be clean, to be pure. As we come into his presence, we come in with joy, with peace. Love, just to love on him. And you can sit down and just think about him and just start weeping. You know you're in the right place. If you out there and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And understand that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Bible said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I said, that was John 3:16, John 3:17, John 3:19. It's so important for us to take a stand for righteousness. It's not just talking. It's not putting on your double breasted, your single breasted, your shark skin suit, or your nice dress, your nice linen dress, and going into church. You got your new hairdo. You got your nice hair block from the barber shop to go to the church building to look. I said, well, John is back at church today. Oh, he comes every Sunday. Mary, she comes every Sunday. That's not it. Where's your heart? You know, your heart has to be there. You know, I have people that Pastor was saying a couple of weeks ago, Pastor says, he says people are in the church and they're thinking about the chicken and that they put on timer, you know, in the oven. And say, if you want to go home to eat your chicken or your pork, and you say, your ham, say, go on. He said, because if you can't give God all of your money, where's the point? You're here in the church. Why are you here in the house? You're in the house, you're thinking about the basketball. You're in the house, you're thinking about the football, the soccer. You know, all this stuff. We're thinking about the next party and how the family coming together. You in the house. No, you should cast on those thoughts. You know, I get to a point now, Apostle, I don't even take my phone in the house. I get to the house and I leave it in the car. I leave it in the car. Because, you know, even though you don't have the phone, a lot of people don't have the phone on, but they have it on vibrator. They have it on vibrator. So why they got the phone to the side and they say, well, you know, my phone is not turned on. A pastor says, some pastors say, turn off all your phones. And they'll shut down the phone. You know, they'll shut down the phone. But guess what? It's on vibrator. It's on vibrator. So while they're sitting there, guess what happened? The phone is vibrating. It is vibrating. So you don't fool nobody. And then they get up and say they're going to the bathroom. They got to go to the bathroom. Know where they're going to the bathroom. That's a phone. The phone has whipped them up so much time. They got to go to the bathroom to check who it is. I've been calling them all the time. I leave mine inside the truck because I want to hear when I come to visit. If I'm not the preacher, I want to hear what God is saying. And if I'm the preacher, I want to hear even the more, because God has a tendency that when we think it's ours, he'll stop you, he'll take it away from you. When you think it's yours, he'll take the message from you. He said, look, this is the message I want you to preach. So for those that are receiving salvation today, this is Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the word that I've heard. And I thank you for giving me an opportunity to come and lay down my life before you. Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. So I'm asking you now, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system that we live in. Jesus, I'm asking you to have mercy. Have mercy on me. Give me a chance to be right. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to your word, Lord Jesus. I believe what the scripture said, that you died, you were crucified for my sins, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. And now I come with great expectation that you would forgive me, you cleanse me, and put me on the right path. Powerful righteousness. And if you said that, and you believe what you say with your mouth, because it's all about you, believing what God has done at the cross and what he's capable of doing even right now. You know, you have to believe that for yourself, not your pastor. The pastor can't believe in you. Pastor only going to coach you. But you have to take a stand for righteousness yourself. And once you take that stand, you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. Teacher, someone who are capable of baptizing you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I look for somebody who I know that was walking, talking, and living what they preach. Because I don't want everybody to put their hand on me. Not that I'm perfect or got it together. I want everybody to put their hand on me. I tell the truth. Some people jump on the floor, roll on the floor. I know preachers. Roll on the floor. He preaching, and he'll get down from the altar. He'll roll on the floor. But guess what he was doing? He was living a bisexual lifestyle. And he took home a sickness to his wife and killed his wife. Okay, if she got the sickness, she could never recover from it. Okay? And he's an awesome preacher, know the word of God, can sing. Oh, got a melodious voice. But you see, it's not about that. It's not about how well you sing, how well you preach, how you can dance them two steps thing, you know, how they got their foot moving like chicken feet on the rug. It's not about that. It's about how you're living for Christ. And your lifestyle speaks. The singer sung, is your lifestyle speak for the Lord? Does your lifestyle speak for the Lord? If it not, you got to repent. And you just call up a pastor, a preacher, tell him you received the gift of salvation. I tell you, your life will never be the same before you get baptized. Invite your friends and your family, your co-workers, everybody, as many people as you could get, because you never know, your baptism may cause somebody to get all excited and say, man, they get all excited and say, well, if James could get baptized, and I know how bad he was, maybe I can get baptized too. I can give my life to the Lord. So invite people. You want witnesses. You know, people going to walk around, they're going to leave and say, man, you know, John, man, he really meant that thing, man. I thought he was playing around when he went up to the altar that week. But, man, he's getting baptized today. You see? And just your baptism could be the catalyst to draw people, others to come and be baptized. After you get baptized, my friend, find a church, a body of believers where the preacher, the pastor, teaches the truth and doesn't compromise. And get yourself involved. It's not about joining a building. You know, people say, well, I joined the building. No, it's not about joining the building, joining this stuff and this, joining some group. No, it's about getting yourself deeply connected to Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. Understand? So I thank God for those that receive salvation, those that are going to get baptized. Now, as we call it, the liquid grave. And when you're going down that liquid grave, you're going down in Jesus' name. And consider this, that Jesus is with you, because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even in that watery grave, he's there with you. And you go down, he go down with you, he come back up with you. And if you're like me, and you're really open to the Spirit, when he come upon you, you're going to take off. Because when he came upon me, I took off running. And they said, leave him alone, leave him alone. That's the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Ghost that day, and I began to speak in tongues. And they said, leave him alone. God is working with him, and he sure enough worked with me. Because this stuff, the time that I tried to go back into the world and act a fool, couldn't go back because it was not the same. Because once you hear the truth, you can't go back. Once you hear the truth and the truth get into your heart, you can't go back in that foolishness that you've been doing. You know, he take control. If you're still able to do that stuff that you've been doing, it's because you have not given him control of your heart. You got to give him control. And you got to stand up. So I thank God for all those that receive the gift of salvation, those who are going to receive at a later date. I bless you. I pray for you. And I'm going to pray with you, pray for God to continue to bless you, to hear the word of God, to see the word of God, receive the word of God in your spirit as you go forth each day in this earthly realm, waiting to be in the heavenly realm. God bless you all. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond if you choose to. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle. I love you.
God bless you, sir.
You've been encouraged. I enjoy you every day. And I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to get back to work. But I just thank God for the word. Every day when God use you and use the Holy Spirit to minister through you, I thank God for you. And you be encouraged. You know, God said, he said, I never leave you or forsake you. It'll be with you until the end of the world. So you be encouraged, Apostle. You're doing a good job, and I thank God for you. I love you unconditional. And thank God for the word today. It was so good. I was thinking about that word to say, he that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I was thinking about what you were saying about getting close to God, because that's the only way, only thing we can do. I was saying we got to do like Moses, find that secret. We got to go and find out where he at. I tell somebody the other day, I said, I wonder what God doing, you know, while man doing all this crazy stuff and they messing up the sky and covering up the sun and got the earth is long and growing for the sons of God and shaking back and to and forth, and everything is suffering because of what man doing. And we're in a place, time now, you can tell time is short, and the best place you can do is get close to God. I mean, get so close to God that you can hear, not just hear his voice, but you have a scent. You know it's him, or you can feel him. And that's what we got to get at, because it's just so much going on. And I mean, you know, we just don't know, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow dealing in our nations. America has got so far away from God, and our leaders have made a covenant with death and hell. And there's so much going on, and our children are being targeted by evil, great evil, not just our children, but our communities. And there's just so much going on, and we never had a time to pray. It's time to pray now. it's time to really get serious about your salvation, searching your own heart, making sure that you're really right with God. You know, like you were saying, close to the end of your message, you were saying, you know, going to church is one thing. I tell people that all the time. I even told my family member that. I mean, going to church is one thing. You know, you go to church, and that don't save you. Jesus saved you. Just because you got your name on a church roll, that don't mean you're going to heaven. You know, and people think that they go to the club on Friday and Saturday night and get drunk and do their thing, and then they think just because they sang Kumbaya on Sunday, they're just going to go and slide right on into heaven, and they're just going to go to heaven just like that, and God just going to let them on in, and that's it, and not they don't know what the words say. You know, the Bible says for the wage of sin is death, and so people don't know, and it's because not just because they hard and done got hard toward God, it's bad leadership. You know, even the Word of God say leaders have made God's word be a none effect. You know, because they own doctrine and arguing and debating, and one saying one thing and another saying another. And people don't know what to believe. They're not seeking God for themselves. And so we just have to really pray, not just for ourselves, but pray for the leaders. Man, it's raining hell out here, Apostle. Man, it was just raining, and now it's raining ice and hell out here while I'm in the truck. Oh, my God. But I'm telling you, man, they doing some very dangerous stuff to this weather, and we really have to pray. It's raining ice out here, Apostle, while I'm talking to you on the phone. Wow. But
shifting like crazy, man.
And it's because they messing with the weather. You got, I think a prophet has talked about it on here one time, and she said it many times. You got weather wars going on, man. You got the government. They got their own weather machine, and you got the angels, because you got to realize, if you look in your word, God placed angels in charge over certain elements. He placed angels in charge over the sun, over the cloud, the rain. God just sits in his place, and he got angels that do the work. And so you got mankind and the evil ones, the fallen ones, and Satan, Lucifer, is in the war in the heavens, in the firmament. They while God put his clouds out, they spraying their stuff. So God clouds look like cotton balls. They look like cigarette smoke. So you got them trying to, in the competition with God. Like Elon Musk talking about building this machine where when they have the eclipse that's coming up to descend up toward the moon, they want to blow the moon up. Yeah, I mean, they crazy, man. And they don't realize the same dicks they digging, thinking they doing, they fight God, they digging for themselves. You destroying the planet that God gave us and letting Lucifer influence them to do it. And, you know, so it's just a war, and we have to pray. You know, God gave us power over the elements, and we got to get in that place where we have power. We can speak to the elements and call the sun to stay still, call the weather to change. And we can do that when we tap into the right realm and we really get rid of ourselves and then get in that place, in that circuit place. And I just love when you said that early, getting to find the place in God. And I'm telling you, it ain't no other place but to be in God. There ain't no peace in the movie, not in the nice dinner, even though some of us might like steak, T-bone steak, a nice dinner. Or we might love being with a husband and wife, but it's nothing like being in the presence of God. It's just something about when you're in the presence of God, it does something. It brings joy, peace, and liberty in the presence of God. Thinking about how the angels, they sit over God, them six wings, and they call him holy. And I said, Lord, wherever you at, but I was telling the Lord today, I said, Lord, I thank you for all you've done, for how good God is. Awesome, man. Even though, man, doing what they doing, God's still faithful. He still let the sun come out. He still let the moon shine. God could have been got rid of mankind a long time ago. Look what he did in the Old Testament. He didn't give them no chance. I know we covered by the blood of mankind, even though they're wicked. I know we covered because God could have been them. And some people talking about they only God could judge me. Man, they don't know who they're dealing with. I'll tell somebody today, man, God's so dangerous that even in the LBG community, they don't even know they're already up under judgment. Because if you look at it, that's part of their judgment. If you go to Romans 8, the first chapter, and you look at them scriptures in there, God turned them over like that. That's why they are, because God, they already judged. And most of them say, well, you judging me. You already judged. You've been turned over to a reprobate mind. You already been judged by God. You just waiting. You just waiting on. They wait for the late. That's all you waiting on. You know, and so people don't know that. And say, well, were you living in sin? You know, you got to change for your sin. You already judged. If you don't live right, and I tell people that we're no witnessing. People say, well, you judging. I say, well, you already judged. Even me, as a man of God, I'm being judged every day by everything I do. So the way you live, you already judged. Whether I tell you about Christ or not, God already on the side. What he going to do with every man that don't repent and get right with him and be born again. Ain't nothing we can do about that. No man can change that. You cannot change God's word. His word is already settled in heaven. And so that's the thing here. Man thinks because they change laws on earth that God has changed his mind about what he's going to do. And so now they done messed up and made a hot mess so much on their planet. They trying to find somewhere to go. So they can't go out of space because they ain't been there. They've been lying about that. So they're going in the earth, building bunkers and all that, and they've been used by the fallen ones. And thinking they going to escape judgment because they know Christ coming. And they know he's coming. And they trying to do all they can to be destructive. Murder, kill, and you know, human sacrifice, even what you were talking about, the abortion. A lot of people don't know when a woman have an abortion, you got blood in your hand. And you got to repent. And those that out there, if you don't got an abortion, God will forgive you. But you got to repent for that because you got blood in your hand because you just gave your baby over to over that and without knowing, so you got to pray and ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you when you sincere from your heart, because people don't know that the abortion clinic ain't nothing but a modern day altar. That's all it is. That's how Satan get free sacrifice. When he used politician to use abortion as a free sacrifice, and then most of the women that he got up there and there's marching saying women rights, a lot of them were witches. A lot of women are devil worshippers. They have free sacrifice, so that's why they're so angry and fighting for the abortion back, because that's for baby sacrifice. And like you said, baby, all the baby fetuses that they use, they put stuff in the food and the sodas. It's baby stuff, and it's more than just for the baby body part. They using it in our food. They putting it in our food and our drinks. It's just how wicked and evil these people are. And so you just got to really, they take God to show you that. But I love you. Man of God, you've been encouraged. I want to get close to God. I said I was looking at thinking about Moses when he before God saw him go and do what he did. He had to find God, and God he ordered his steps. And when he got in the presence of God, he said, "You're on holy ground." And I always say, "Lord, if I can meet you like that without you killing me, because I don't want to die, because I know your presence is more powerful than the sun." Lord, I just need you to help me to help my people. Because the enemy is really taking the mind of people, and people are being lost without God, man. People really need God, even the leaders, man. So many leaders are being deceived. The Bible even said that. He said that even the very elect shall be deceived. And you see what's going on now. You see people that used to run and stand up for God, even gospel artists, done changed. They message done changed. They don't even sound the same. They don't even say the name Jesus have for them no more. And the music almost sound like they sang it R&B, or they sang it to another man or another woman. And it just, you could tell that the enemy has brought them out. And then it just goes to show you that the know-how, who we fighting against, go back to the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, how the serpent, he came and he was in the garden. He watched God create it, man. And he implored them to fall against God and told them and lied to them. He used the word and lied to them. He's doing the same thing. His game ain't never changed. He's doing the same thing today to mankind now, making them think that God ain't really mean what he said, and then he getting the riches and power, and they really serving Lucifer. You got Freemasons calling Lucifer God. Some of the when you go to 33 Masons, they call Lucifer God because he influenced them that God kicked them out, and they don't realize God the one made him. He made Lucifer. He made him. He the one God turned him into what he is. God did that to him. So how you going to go to the creation and not worship the creator? But then it stated in Romans, first chapter, that man rather worship the creator, creeping and crawling and things more than the creator, the one that created the heavens and the earth and mankind. And that's what you see going on today. It's the same thing, man. Love dollars rather than light. They love what they do for themselves more than what the one that put the planet here, the one that put the sun in the sky, and the one that created the angels. That's what we should be worshiping. I was saying myself today, I said, all these holidays we got all these pagan days, we should be, all them days should be canceled out, and every day that we worship, that we decide to make a holiday, should be for God. All the days should be for God. All worship should be for God. We should have no other God, because if it weren't for God, man won't even exist. Even though the angels created some of these human beings, because everybody ain't human. Some of these people that are on the planet were created by angels and reptilian people. But I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to leave that, you know, that's another story. But I just want to say that God bless you, love you, Apostle. I'm always a joy to be here, and I'm praying that all the prayer warriors and those that love to pray, that's out there, men and women of God, let's start praying and bombarding heaven for our community. Let's praying against the spirit of sorcery that's taking over the minds of our people. We got many cities that I done been to where people in the middle of the street, they losing their mind. These drugs that's hitting the street, taking people out. And we really got to pray against this stuff that's going on. And we got to really get tapped into the power of God like never before. And we got to really, really take this thing serious, because the devil not playing with us. And he want our soul too. And he not going to give up until he take us out too. And so our job is to get up and put on the whole armor of God and get full of God. I'm telling you, like we never did before, put all our issues beside each other and all that there. And we need to really come together and pray for each other, pray for our pastors, pray for our leaders, because it's an attack on the body of Christ like never before, and the devil not playing. And, you know, while we arguing and debating and we playing, the devil ain't playing. He's taking it. Not only he trying to destroy our children, he going in, he trying to get the women before they can have the baby. He going in the womb. And so we really have to get serious about God. God bless you. Love you, Apostle.
Thank you, Minister Jones. Thank you for that great response, and you add so much to it. I'm just thankful. We just got to stay connected to the vine. That's all. We got to stay connected to Christ Jesus, because it's going to get worse. I mean, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, a lot of people that don't believe, they will see the hand of God. They will see it. And when the wrath of God come upon the earth, it's going to be too late. You know, he's long-suffering, and he's giving people a chance. He's full of patience, you know, but they are playing games. They're playing with their soul salvation, and we just got to keep praying for them in the mighty name of Jesus. The line is open now. Thank you. Be careful out there. We're getting rain here, too. Be careful out there, Minister Jones. Be careful. The line is open. Close out. There's a lot of people on the line. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask you, O God, to continue to bless us, continue to keep us walking in that spirit of salvation, O God. O God, a spirit of needing you even the more, O God. God, because we can never need you enough. We got to need you even more. Lord, I pray today, God, that you continue to order our steps and let your word continue to be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, God. We ask, God, that you touch our tongue with the coals from the altar, O God. O God, and cleanse us, O God, from every sin, every iniquity, every transgression that would try to infiltrate us, O God. We ask you to clean our mind, clean our spirit, clean our soul, O God. We pray, Father God, for healing and deliverance, restoration, O God. We pray for the strength of God, O God. And near mercy, the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. We pray today, Lord. We pray today, O God, that you continue to keep us, O God, and shield us, O God. Deliver us from every trick of the enemy, every deception of the enemy, God. We pray for your peace, Lord God. We pray for your joy, Lord God. Lord, touch our marriages, touch our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, oh God, our children, everything that's connected to us, Lord, we ask you to perfect, right? Keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed on you, God. We pray that you, oh God, touch the elder, touch the Brother Mark, touch Minister Jones, touch Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Lord, touch Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington. We pray, Father God, for Deacon Fraser. Lord God, he come on the line, oh God. We know he don't say much, but Lord, we pray that you keep him, Lord God. Watch over his mother. And, oh God, we ask that you heal her from her infirmities, oh God. Lord, most of all, we ask that you touch your church, which is the bride. Touch the bride, oh God, and cause the bride to get herself ready. Now, that's the word you said in the word. You wouldn't go and get the church ready, but the church, the bride, has to get herself ready. We ask, oh God, that you help her. Lord God, give her the incentive to know that she has to get herself ready, oh God. And Father, as we leave this land, but never your presence, oh God, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, oh God. We ask you to make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. We pray, Father God, for the blessings to come so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, oh God. We don't want to be braggadocious about our finances, God, but we want to be able to bless those that are less fortunate than us, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God. We pray today, Lord God, for you to continue to heal. Heal, oh God, for our bodies is in need of great supernatural, miraculous healing, oh God. We ask you to heal us, oh God. Heal the arthritic pain, oh God. Heal those that are suffering with asthma, those that are suffering with gout, oh God. Oh God, those that have breast tumors and breast cancer, and brain tumors, oh God. Lung cancer, Lord God. Colon cancer, prostate cancer, Lord. Cancer of the bone, oh God, leukemia. We ask you to heal today, Lord God. Heal. As we send out your word over the airways, oh God. We ask you to heal. Heal the lungs, oh God. Heal the chest cavities, oh God, of all the pain and all the ailments, oh God, the infirmities, Lord God. And God, we are careful this day because we know that you hear us, and because you hear us, you are doing what only you can do for us, oh God. Oh God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, near and far, Lord God, you are healing in Africa, in India, in China, in Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, Jerusalem, Israel, God. Oh God, Brazil, Denmark, France, Germany, Italy, God, the Caribbean islands, Lord, you are healing Canada, United States of America, Lord, you are healing the Congress, the senators, oh God, the Supreme Court, Justice Department, the school teachers, the students, God, you are healing the police department, the fire department, the president, the vice president, Lord, you are healing right now. You are bringing deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Now we, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That this means that the characteristics of Jesus Christ must be seen in your life. You must have life. You must have compassion. You must have mercy. And you must be willing to forgive. In Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Remember, God loves you and I love you too. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed, safe day and be vigilant. Pay attention to your surroundings. In Jesus' holy name.